Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
Check, check. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy 2022. Here's to hopefully being better than 2021. We got our first snow of the year, so everyone get here safely. No crashes. I know how you high school drivers are. Whereas Mari said she may have hit a couple curbs, right? Okay. All right. All right. Here's my question for you guys as we start off the new year, as we start off this new series talking about failing fearlessly. I want to know if anyone has ever made, have you ever made an assumption that turned out to be very wrong? Okay, I feel like all human beings do this. We assume something, and it turns out to be completely wrong. Well, I was interested, and I looked this up. I looked up some of the worst assumptions made in human history by some of the brightest people ever to walk this earth. And guys, this is actually kind of funny stuff. These are some of the worst assumptions ever made, okay? Number one, guy by the name of Samuel, I think it's like Pepys. Okay, he lived back in like 1700. All right, the celebrated English diarist, he wrote the following comments on seeing the play by Shakespeare called Romeo and Juliet. Okay, these were his comments. The worst play I've ever seen in my life. Okay, maybe a bad assumption there. Okay, this other guy, his name's Dr. Lardner. He lived back in 1793. He was a professor of natural history and astronomy at London University. He warned that trains traveling at fast speeds would asphyxiate their passengers, aka suffocate everyone that hops on a train. And then he also stated that no ship would be able to cross the Atlantic Ocean because it would need more coal than it could carry. Okay? Did that work out for him? No. All right. Simon Newcomb, 1835, the leading U.S. astronomer of his time and professor of astronomy and mathematics, declared that flight by heavier-than-air objects was completely impossible. And then after the Wright brothers made their first flights, he claimed that airplanes were impractical and worthless. That wasn't right. Okay. Charles Duell was commissioner of the U.S. Patents Office, who in 1899... gave his opinion that everything that can be invented has already been invented. So nothing after 1899 is going to be invented, is what he said. Okay. General Douglas Haig, back in 1861, he was the commander of the British Army in World War I, said in 1914 of the machine gun, "Make no mistake about this, this weapon will change absolutely nothing." He was wrong. Rex Lambert, editor of The Listener, wrote in 1936, "Television won't matter in your lifetime or mine." And then this one, the last one here. Don Rowe was the director of Decca Records who turned down the Beatles. You guys heard of the Beatles before? Okay. He said to their promoter, "We don't like your boys' sound. Groups of guitarists are on their way out." He was wrong. He was wrong about the Beatles. Sometimes it isn't really safe to assume. All right, would you guys agree with me? Sometimes it's not super safe to assume for anyone. These were people that were considered to be the brightest people in history. I mean, these were supposed to be extremely smart people, the smartest in their areas, yet their perspective proved to be very small. The TV's not going to matter. The machine gun's not going to change anything. Flying's not possible, right? These were supposed to be the smartest in their fields, yet their perspective was so small that they really messed up when compared to what would actually come to be. They would get their assumptions very wrong. And now today we look back and think, well, what were they thinking? Maybe they actually weren't the smartest people on the planet for thinking these things. Or maybe we have a different perspective than these guys did back during their time. We actually know how it all plays out. We actually know, hey, planes are actually going to matter a little bit. Okay? Hey, just so you know, we're still going to be watching TV. TV is still going to be a thing. The Beatles, they actually would actually be a good band. Now, Romeo and Juliet, you may agree with this person that it was the worst play ever created. Okay. But for most people, for actual critics, that is not the case, right? But we have this different perspective now being in this time in history and seeing how everything played out. Why am I bringing this up? Why am I making this point? Because in our story today, Peter makes a very wrong assumption. He assumes something, and he chooses to say something to Jesus based on this assumption that ultimately gets him in very big trouble. Now, we're starting this new series, this new year of 2022, talking about failing, which you're like, great. 2021 was quite the year, and now we're going to start off 2022 with failing. Awesome. This is great. Okay. But actually, there's a lot of things we can learn in this series that we're going to be talking about this guy, Peter. All right, Peter is the main character of this next series, and Peter is arguably the most famous disciple. He's sometimes considered to be Jesus' right-hand man. You see a lot of stuff about Peter in the Bible. And Peter does a lot of really great things for the kingdom of God. You guys will find this. You'll see stories that Peter was the first one to acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ. Peter was the first one to say that. Peter preaches this incredible sermon at Pentecost where it says 3,000 people came to follow Jesus. Peter's the guy that Jesus said, hey, Peter, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. All right? That's a very high statement for Jesus to give to Peter. Peter also is going to perform miracles in Acts. Okay? Peter's a big deal. But Peter's also known for big, big, big mistakes. He messes up a lot. He fails epically a lot of times. And this series, we're going to look at each failure that Peter has. We're going to look at this failure because in each failure, we see a lesson not just for Peter, but for you and me. Because some of us may be in this room, and we may see ourselves sometimes as a bit of a failure, or that we mess up a lot. All right, and the goal of this series is to say, no, there's hope for you, because if Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, is a guy that fails all the time, then guess what? I think it's okay for you and I to fail sometimes at this Jesus-following journey. And so we're calling this failing fearlessly, because here's the goal for each of us, okay? Here's the goal for this series, that we don't need to be afraid of owning up to our mistakes, to owning up to the fact that, yes, I mess up. Yes, I'm full of sin. Yes, I make mistakes and I fail. But we will find that Jesus forgives you every time for your failures. And that we can fearlessly turn our mistakes around and say, okay, I messed up, but now I can follow Jesus a little bit better. Because I know how I messed up and I know that Jesus forgives. That's the hope of this series, okay? So, grab your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 8. That's where we're going to be this morning, starting in verse 31. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Okay? And so let me set a little bit of the context up for this failure that we're going to see from Peter. Peter had an assumption about the promised Messiah. He had an assumption about all of these things that he had read in the Old Testament about this Messiah that was coming that actually a lot of Jewish people held. They had this assumption. They would read these stories in the Old Testament about this Messiah that was coming, all right? And so they had this context, they had this idea, and this is when Jesus entered the scene. Jesus came onto the scene here in this story in the midst of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was in full rule. They basically ran the entire world, all right? They ran the Middle East. The Romans, they were a superpower, they were oppressive, and they were in charge. All right, if you were not Roman, if you were against Rome, then they were stomping all over you. Rome was king. Rome was ruler. And all of these Jewish people, including Peter, they had heard that in the Old Testament prophets said, hey, this Messiah is coming, and he's going to be king. And he's going to set the captives free. He's going to redeem the lost. He's going to bring freedom to those that are in bondage. Now, put yourself in the shoes of Peter or a Jewish person in the midst of the Roman Empire, and you hear these things like a king is coming. He's going to set the captives free. He's going to free people from bondage. Who are you thinking this Messiah is going to be? All right? They thought he would be this great military leader. this great military leader that would come and he would rule as king by leading God's people, by leading the Jewish people to overthrow the Romans and to establish his kingdom on earth. This was the assumption most of the early Christians thought. They heard these stories about the Messiah, and they're like, this is who he's going to be. He's going to come, and he's going to get rid of Rome, and we're going to finally have our kingdom. This is going to be awesome. And it is with this context that Jesus makes a statement to his disciples about himself. And because it was not quite what Peter and the other Jewish people were expecting, Peter kind of puts his foot in his mouth, and we witness his first big, failure. Okay? Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man, or the Messiah, must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law, and he would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around, looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are seeing this merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me." Not the best look for Peter here, probably. Not the best look. It's interesting. If you guys go back to the passage before this, my Bible says it says Jesus predicts his death is what this passage says. If you go before this, it says that Peter's declaration about Jesus happens just before this, which is really interesting. Just before this moment, Peter just got done saying that Jesus was the Messiah. And this was a big moment for Peter. He believed that Jesus was the promised Son of God. It actually says in other Gospels that Jesus was like, "Well done, Peter. You got it. You get this. You understand." And then just a few verses later, Jesus is saying to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." I'm sure Peter was like, "What did I say? What did I say here?" If Jesus was who everyone in the first century Israel thought he would be, then you know what? Peter had a right to be upset about what Jesus was saying. It was depressing. It was negative stuff. This is not who Jesus was supposed to be. If you're supposed to be this king to come and rule, how dare you say this stuff? Jesus was supposed to be this guy that would be powerful, that would be praised, that would live victoriously. And instead, Jesus gets up and says, "Hey guys, I'm going to suffer. People are going to hate me. And I'm going to die." And Peter, understandably, he's so upset. He's like, "Jesus, stop that. You're supposed to be confident. You're supposed to stay true to who you are. You're supposed to be sure of who you are. Don't show people your weakness. How dare you come out and say you're going to suffer, be rejected, and be killed? Jesus, don't say that." But that's not who Jesus was. That's not who he was. Who Peter thought he was is not who Jesus was, and that's not who Jesus calls us to be. Honestly, I think we're a lot like Peter. And we have these expectations of Jesus that we put on him that just aren't true. That aren't true about Jesus. That the Bible does not back these things up. For example, some of us live or think that Jesus, he just wants me to be happy. Well, actually, Jesus said we would go through trials when we choose to follow him. Nowhere does Jesus say, I want you to be happy. Just want you to have a happy life. Have all the things you ever wanted. Just be happy." Jesus, he didn't say that. Yet we live like that. And when we're not happy, we look at Jesus and say, "You're not doing what you said you would." But that's not who Jesus is. Another one is, Jesus, he's cool with my sin. Even if I mess up, like, he's cool, he'll forgive me. And that's just a wrong view of Jesus, because Jesus despised sin. He talked about how awful it was. In fact, sin is so bad, that's why Jesus had to go to the cross. Do you think Jesus would go to the cross if sin was just, I'll forgive you, it's fine? No, sin is ugly, it's nasty. Jesus is not cool with your sin. He's not cool with that. Sometimes we live or we think, Jesus just wants me to stay true to myself. Just be true to who I am. And maybe we use that as an excuse and say, well, Jesus made me a brutally honest person, so I'm going to be just brutally honest to the people around me because that's just who I am. And if you get hurt, that's how Jesus made me. It's like, well, no. That's Jesus. I don't remember Jesus saying, be true to yourself. Or maybe some of us view that in a way, well, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. And if Jesus makes me feel this way, then this is what is right. What I feel is what is right. Jesus doesn't say, hey, listen to your feelings. No, Jesus says, no, listen to my word. Listen to what I say. Some of us that we think following Jesus, it's supposed to be easy. So if there's something hard about following Jesus, then it must not be right. Following Jesus should be easy. So if I'm going through something hard that Jesus tells me to do, then maybe this isn't exactly what Jesus told me to do. But no, Jesus says it's not going to be easy. Following Jesus is not easy. Running from sin, that's a hard thing to do. Some of us may think, oh, well, there's multiple ways to heaven. Like my friends that are Islam, like Islam, Muslim, or Buddhist, or Jewish, like they're all going to be okay. They all believe in God. It's like, no. Jesus said he's the only way. He's very clear on that. Jesus says, I am the only way. Maybe some of us think, Jesus is okay with me choosing what I think is true from the Bible. The Bible's vague on this, so I can interpret this my own way. Well, no. Jesus taught that the scriptures could not be broken. That Jesus actually believed that this was the word of God. The Bible was the word of God. So no, I can't just pick and choose what I want to believe out of this. I could go on, but you hopefully get my point. That we have these assumptions, we have these expectations of Jesus, that that's just not who he is. And Peter failed because he had an assumption about Jesus and realized, oh, I was wrong here. And some of you may believe the stuff I challenged, or some of you may agree with me on that, but you're not living that way. Jesus is very clear in this passage. He is who he said he is, not what you think he is. Jesus is who he said he is, not who you think he is. I'm telling you, I would be very cautious about making claims about who Jesus is without looking in depth about what the Bible says about him. I'd just be cautious. Because this is where you're going to find your truth about Jesus. At the beginning of John says that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then I would look at the Word when thinking or asking or the world saying, hey, this is who Jesus is. I would just say, okay, I hear you. Let me just check. Let me just see if this is actually who Jesus is. Now, I read this, and I'm looking at Peter's failure here, and I'm like, yeah, Peter, he made an assumption here, and he really messed up. It's like an epic failure for Peter, but get behind me, Satan? That's harsh. That's really, really harsh. Man, Jesus, even for a big failure like that, to say, get behind me, Satan? I mean, for me to look at Caden Carell and him talking smack, just be like, hey, Caden, get behind me, Satan. Yikes. It'd be harsh, right? It'd be harsh. And not to mention that Jesus does this in front of all the disciples. I mean, I think it's kind of funny here that right before he says this, Jesus turned around and looked at his disciple. He's like, just, you guys watching this? Get behind me, Satan. Like, Peter had to feel like, just wanting to crawl up into a ball, right? And I'm like, man, this is harsh. Until you understand what Peter was actually trying to tell Jesus, what he was actually reprimanding him about. In Peter's assumption, in his reprimand, he was telling Jesus, Jesus, don't be a servant. Don't suffer. Don't be rejected. Don't die. Don't do those things. Be a king. Be a ruler. Use your power, Jesus. Don't do those things. It sounds very, very similar to when Jesus was out in the wilderness with Satan. And Satan took Jesus to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said, hey, I'll give this all to you. I'll give you rule. I'll give you power. I'll give you a kingdom. And in that story, Jesus replied, get out of here, Satan. It's a similar thing here. Jesus, Peter's saying, Jesus, use your power, take the throne, rule like a king. What Peter didn't understand was that was not how Jesus would come to be the King of Kings. Jesus' path, it led to a life of service, suffering, and death. And in this moment, it was Satan again, trying to get at Jesus, trying to tempt him, saying, don't be who you're supposed to be. Be who I want you to be. That's when Jesus goes, no, Satan, you're not doing this. Peter didn't understand who Jesus really was. Jesus was a king, but not that kind of king. Jesus was going to set the captives free, but not from Rome, from sin. Jesus was going to establish his kingdom, but not an earthly one. Peter was thinking too small. That's why Jesus says, hey, Peter, you're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's here. You're looking too small. Peter failed here because he made an assumption that wasn't of God. It was of man. It's of what he heard from all of his friends, all of his people. He failed here when he made an assumption about God that wasn't from God. It was from the people around him. You're going to fail, guys. You're going to fail if you choose to believe Jesus as you want him instead of who he is. So what the question you need to ask yourself today is simple. As we start this new year, 2022, I think it'd be really cool for us to ask these questions of ourselves. Have I made an assumption about Jesus and about following him that isn't true? Have I been living under an assumption that isn't how Jesus wants me to live? Do I put my trust in a man-made assumption, or do I put my trust in something that comes from the Bible? Okay? Those are important questions I think we need to ask, because honestly, what Peter needed here, he needed a big dose of humility. He needed to be humbled here, an acknowledgement of, okay, this may be Jesus as I want him to be, not as Jesus actually is. And what Jesus calls all followers to be is what verse 34, this is why I think Jesus ties in verse 34 here. He says, if any of you want to be my follower, you've got to give up your own way. You've got to give up the ways that you want me to be. You've got to give up the ways that you want. You've got to give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me and who I say I am. To quit living with Jesus as I want him to be, but Jesus as he is. And guys, let me just tell you, Jesus as he is everything you want him to be. I can assure you of that. Jesus as he is more than enough. Yet, Satan, I think, gets at us and he wants to add in, yeah, Jesus is that, but what if he could be a little of this too? No. Jesus doesn't need more. He's more than enough. Jesus as he is what he says to Peter here. This is who Jesus is. He says, I am the Son of God. I came to earth and I suffered and I died and I rose again. Guys, that is enough. That's enough. And so don't take Jesus' words and make them more complicated. Don't look into this, and because Jesus said plainly here, this is who I am. I came and I died and I rose again to save you from your sin. Yet we like to just, but maybe Jesus was actually meaning this. And when he was talking about sin, maybe it wasn't like this sin, but maybe like more the bigger sin. No. This is who Jesus is. Trying to fill in where he might not be, that's dangerous. We might fail there. And here's the thing, Jesus' way, it's much better than any way the world can offer. It's not, it shouldn't be Jesus and something. It should just be Jesus. Because that's enough. Jesus is more than enough. Because God's got this perspective here, and he sees the end goal. You don't have to look at the way the world views things. Look at how Jesus talks about these things because he's got the perspective. He sees the end goal. He sees what persevering in faith actually looks like. You know, it may not be Jesus wants me to be happy, but God sees the end picture here and he says, you know what? It might be hard here on earth, but I see the end goal here. I see what happens if you persevere. You've got heaven waiting for you. Trust me, it's going to turn out okay because Jesus wins. And that truth, that Jesus wins, that he conquers sin, that's something you don't need to assume. So right now I want to invite the band up. And I just want to ask us to do something this year. I just want us this year to just humbly open my hands. Okay, so I'm actually going to ask you to do this. We're going to put our hands up. This is like us offering something to God. Oh, what a moment. Okay. And this is what I want us to ask. I want us to open our hands up and I want us to ask God, God, how do you want me to follow you? I don't want to follow you like my friends tell me to follow you. I don't want to follow you like the world tells me to follow you. I want to follow you like you want me to follow you. Okay, and I just want us to leave our hands open and ask that because he's got the answers, you don't. And that's okay. It's a lot better that we don't have the answers. So this year, let's start this year off right. I'm going to pray and let's ask God, God, how do you want me to follow you this year? And I just want you to listen. Maybe God has a word for you this morning. Maybe it's going to come later in the year. But I just want you to open your hands and we're going to ask God, God, how do you want me to follow you this year? So let's pray and let's ask God to do that and we'll continue on with our service. God, how do you want us to follow you? What do you want us to deny? What ways have we been walking in that we need to deny ourselves of and follow you, God? What do we need to do? What are you asking for us? What are you asking for us personally in our daily lives? What do you want us to deny ourselves to pick up and to follow you with? God, I ask this as a high school ministry. How do you want us to follow you this year? If there is a way that we're going right now that's not your way, God, I pray you stop us. We want to be in line with who Jesus is, not who we want him to be, not who we think he is, but who Jesus really is, because Jesus is more than enough. I pray that we know that this year. We rest in that. That Jesus alone is worthy of our time, our energy, our praise. God, we give this next year to you. We pray you do what you want to with it. Not what we want with it, but what you want. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.